You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hello and welcome to Screener Squad, and on today's episode we are going to be talking about Always Be My Maybe. This movie is about a pair of childhood friends who were very close when they were younger, but issues happened, they eventually separated, but then 16 years later they just meet up, basically get entangled in each other's lives, chaos ensued, and during the process they learn a bit about themselves and each other. Now, if you're wondering who the hell I am, my name is Alan. You've probably heard my voice on The Final Days of Gotham, The Final Watch Has Begun, for Game of Thrones. You've probably heard me all over Screener Squad, bitching about all sorts of movies. But I am not here alone. I'm with my friend Bradley, who's also been on a bunch of other finals. So, Bradley, introduce yourself.
Hello! Yes, on the final watch of Game of Thrones, I missed out on Gotham. I was told that's not a bad thing.
Yes, you dodged the bullet on that one. Holy shit. I mean, check out the podcast, because we go in-depth into every episode, but what a mess. But no, we're not going to talk about Gotham today. We're going to be talking about this Netflix, basically, rom-com. But I'll throw it to you, Bradley. What are your first thoughts on this?
Well, I enjoyed the subverted expectations. These type of rom-coms usually have a track that's laid out, and the train chugs along, makes every stop. This one took a couple of detours, and I enjoyed that. Also, you know, the diverse casting not being brought up every 10 seconds was pretty cool because it allowed these characters to breathe and, as you said, grow as people. I'm actually a huge fan of Ali Wong. She's got the two Netflix specials and is on Tuca and Birdie on Netflix right now. I recommend everybody check all of that out. I think she is comedy gold.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I was actually kind of, it's weird because I was kind of the opposite, like, I kind of can't stand these kinds of movies because I do feel like they follow into the, like you just said, the exact same kind of tropes. And I think this does, to a certain degree, it does subvert a bunch of expectations. And yeah, like I said, I do appreciate the diverse cast. It doesn't get brought up. Like, obviously, their background, their being Chinese and Korean, does get brought up. But it's not like the center point of their character. It's just kind of influences, like, I guess, their paths in life. But it's brought up as needed. But I guess just to dive right into the actual movie, it kind of goes through the when they're kids, like 1996, and then when they're kind of teenagers, and how they kind of grew up as childhood friends. Like, we've all had that childhood friends, either it was a boy or it was a girl, someone that you just always walked over, you're part of the family, and all that stuff. And that's where you kind of see where it's like, I get what they're trying to do with these kids and trying to make them friends, but I felt that the kids were such bad actors. I'm like, I get what you're trying to do, but holy crap.
It's children in a rom-com, you know?
True, true. So I wasn't giving the movie too much crap, but I'm like, oh God, please move on. And then it jumps to them
grow older.
Yeah. Then they grow older. It turns to them being teenagers. I'm like, hey, you know what? You managed to get people that kind of look like that. I always appreciate that when you get the older versions that do kind of look like the children. I know that's difficult, but I appreciate the effort. And I don't think they got better as like teenagers, like 18, 19, 20, because they were still just as annoying and just as bad acting. So I'm just like, oh God. And then when the tragedy strikes, they separate because the main dude is a colossal fucking asshole. Like, he is just, like, I get he's hurting, but, like, he kind of basically, like, they're both kind of mean people. They're both mean-spirited people, and they just clashed, and they're like, fuck it, we're just not going to see each other. Jump to 16 years later when, Ali Wong's character just comes back to San Francisco, and that's when they basically bump into each other because of a friend basically hooking that. I was like, hey, your life's kind of falling apart. Your husband just jumped, or your fiance just jumped across the world for no fucking reason. Why don't you just come back here, chill, and open up a new restaurant? And that's basically gives us into our, that gets us into the plot of them meeting up and them doing all sorts of stuff on that.
Well, I watched this with my wifey. And I think if you have someone that loves these movies, it enhances the experience if you watch them with them. For example, you said, oh, a friend hooks them up again. When that friend first makes an appearance and they're talking like they're all friends, I say, wait, who the hell is that? And my wifey says, oh, don't you remember? For like 10 seconds, she was eating dumplings with them when they were teenagers. They were all friends in high school.
Oh, shit. I didn't even catch that.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, wow, you got all of that from a growing up montage. Cool. I missed that. And there are kind of a ton of scenes to miss like that in this movie. So really, if you want to have an enjoyable experience, I think it's an enjoyable movie. But if you want to have the top-notch rom-com wash over me and let me drown in the emotions of true love, the truest kind of love, Alan, then really watch this with someone who loves these type of movies.
Yeah, there's always something to be said about an experience. Like, you're watching someone that loves this kind of movie, and as long as they're not sitting there going, this scene's amazing, this scene's amazing. If they genuinely do enjoy it, that positivity will help you enjoy the movie. But I kind of felt myself very, again, it felt very like it was dragging on. Like, these people weren't particular, like, they're trying too hard to be funny, and almost none of the jokes land. And yeah, they're basically kind of bouncing off of each other to the extent where it's like, yeah, Ali Wong's character can't stand this guy, can't stand the other guy. I believe his name is Maya Check, hopefully I'm getting that right. But yeah, because he's kind of like this kind of stay-at-home loser asshole, and they don't clash at all. But for some reason, because the plot says so, her character just kind of shows up to his band auditions. And I'll say this. If I was not reviewing this for Screener Squad, I'm sorry, Justin, if I was not reviewing this for Screener Squad, I would have walked out. I know this is a Netflix movie, and I'm at home. I would have left when he started rapping.
You could always turn it off, yeah.
He starts rapping, and I started losing my goddamn mind. I had to write this down in my notes. I was like, man, fuck you. No, fuck this fucking movie. She's my mom. That was a different line. Sorry. Yeah, he stopped the movie. There's a fucking line.
Yeah, it all stirred up.
Yeah, there's a line.
This movie stirred up.
Sorry, what's up?
Sorry, I'm saying this movie really riled you up, man. Do you not like rap in movies?
I like rap in movies, but not when it's forced like this. Yeah, sorry, the line that actually ends up being is like, I got my name is Marcus and I got lyrics for your carcass. I pause the movie. I'm like, I can't do this. I almost texted Justin, I can't do this. But I'm like, no, I have to do this. I gotta do the review. But it's so cringy, man.
Yeah, and I'm gonna agree with you on that. I thought the joke about that and kind of the nice la 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 message of it was supposed to be, oh, he's awful, but he really likes to rap. So that's kind of nice, you know. Not all of our passions have to be something that we're incredibly good at. But the movie, it subverted my expectations, Alan, and it insisted that he was actually good at rapping. Yeah.
Like, I've heard way worse. I think it's just, again, I'm one of those people that's like, I know it's going to sound weird, but like, I did grow up with rap music a lot.
Sure.
And one of the things that I always appreciated is lyrics and flow. And this is a tangent to the movie, but it's important to his character, Marcus, because that's what he wants to be. He's a musician. His lyrics are really bland, but he's not a bad rapper / singer. Like, he can actually get a flow going, but the lyrics are so bad. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with the comedy portion of this romantic movie is the comedy almost always sucks. But the romance I kind of get, because a lot of what this movie's trying to do is trying to show what real-life relationships are. It's not that whole Disney magic where, you know, doves are flying. It's like, can you have a conversation with somebody? And that's what a lot of this movie is these people are great at, they have their chemistry. They're almost like, again, they're friends, which is something that's very important and something that I think is very refreshing. Because, again, we're roughly the same age as me, Bradley, so we grew up with all these rom-coms being like, oh, you knew this person for 2 days and you love them because they're so beautiful. And it's like, but they have zero personality. Where as much as I hate the personality of these characters, they have their personalities, and I did really enjoy that for the movie.
No, and I agree with that as well. These two characters grew up together, but that doesn't mean that they, quote-unquote, belong together. And I think that's where this film is at its strongest. A commitment and a relationship at that level is so much more than because it's in the stars, or because mom and dad think we should be together, or because I love you, I can't explain it, and I don't know why, but you were always there in my life, and I was always trying to run away. You know, like ridiculous crap lyrics.
Oh, God. It was
crap sayings like that. I could write the worst rom-com, dude, I swear. And this, it doesn't go down many of those paths. Some of them are there, and it kind of puts its foot on them a bit, but then it makes a turn. Like, her having a job, this blew my mind. Her having a job wasn't a be-all, end-all. Like, oh, are you going to go to New York, San Francisco, Atlanta, and travel the world? What about love? Like, you know, because people in real life, they not only have jobs, they have to have jobs.
Of course.
Not just for the productivity of society, but to live. So not many rom-coms are willing to say, you need a job to live. So this one, saying a job is passion, a job is work, and a job is security, that was a nice little subversion of a genre that I enjoyed. And I like what you said earlier, Alan. Both these people, especially young and teenage age, kind of douchebags. And it really reflects, and it helped me reflect, you know, thinking about my teenage years when I was an incredibly mean-spirited douchebag. Yep. So I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, that would make me think back, like, oh, man, these people are assholes. Then you go back, I'm like, yeah, I was kind of a dick, too. I was less of a dick and more of just kind of a moron. Like, I did stupid shit when I was a kid just because I thought it was funny. But you eventually see them kind of grow out to that when they become adults, but some of the stuff still sticks. Like, she's still controlling. He's still kind of, like, afraid to kind of do anything. But I was really just, again, this movie was, I felt like it was dragging. I felt like the comedy wasn't working. The acting wasn't working. Then something that was unexpected, even though I guess I saw the trailer, I forgot that Keanu Reeves is in this fucking movie. And I was no, don't make him that douchebag. Because, like, eventually, you know, Sasha's character, Ali Wong's character, basically finds this cool guy that's Keanu Reeves. I was like, no, don't make him a douchebag. Don't make him a douchebag. And it's in-universe Keanu Reeves. It's actually Keanu Reeves, the actor. I was like, man, even he can't save this movie. And then he just starts talking. And I'm like, maybe he can save this movie. Because he is hilarious, just trying to be himself. They're at that fancy restaurant. And they're having dinner, and it's like the most hipster shit you've ever heard of. They're like, we're going to give you headphones so you can hear the animal that was killed so that you can, well, you're eating your meal. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Puts on headphones and starts crying. I'm like, okay, this is amazing.
And then he takes a bite, yeah.
Oh,
no,
I
didn't see
it.
The trailer, so that blew me away.
Oh,
now,
definitely.
Do you feel the cameo overstayed its welcome, though?
No, it was perfectly well done because I thought it was going to be one of those situations where, because that's what happens a lot in rom-com, where it's like, oh, man, I really like this person. I'm going to do that. Then they do some douchebag, and you're like, oh, man, it's going to be like that for two-thirds of the movie. Then she's going to marry Keanu Reeves, and then at the wedding, he's going to come in and say, I love you, yada, yada, run off. But no, it's like, as soon as they go to the, because as soon as they go to, yeah, they go back to his place, and they're doing the charades, the party games, it kind of comes across that as much as Keanu Reeves is a nice guy, he's kind of, Ben, in this movie, he's up his own ass, and he's kind of the, he's what you expect a typical hipster to be. And
oh, sure, yeah.
The thing is, though, my as much as I love that scene, it's kind of trying to paint Marcus as the quote-unquote good guy while Keanu Reeves is the bad guy, but Marcus is just as much of an asshole, if not more, that it kind of comes across, I'm like, yeah, these guys are almost the same, they're just different lengths of kind of crazy. But as soon as that scene happens, the movie kind of, for me, starts getting better. So either I have Stockholm Syndrome, or it stopped trying so hard to be a comedy and started more focusing on being an emotional rom-com, because that's when the characters start breaking each other down, and in a really, really well-written way. It's not trying to be funny. It's like, yeah, it's like, hey, Sasha, you are a controlling, and you don't give a shit about anything else in your life as long as it's your career. And then she starts saying, yeah, you're fucking douchebag that lives at home and doesn't know how to fucking leave because he's too afraid. I'm like, okay, cool, you're doing this. You're doing exactly what I love, is when you're breaking down the character types. You're basically making it that they're both good and bad, and let's just see where this goes.
Now, and you hit the nail on the head. When you've known someone as long as Ali and Marcus have known each other, not only do you know how to connect with them, see their vulnerabilities, and be a good friend to them, you know how to really hurt that person also. And they get into that, and I think it's a brilliant scene.
Yeah. And
when they both do that to each other, of course. And I think we could all use an eye-opener like that every once in a while in a relationship. So
definitely. And I think that's one of the I think that's one of the most interesting things about this movie is it understands what it is. So it's trying to break down a lot of these character types. It's just, again, I think the only part of this movie that doesn't work is the comedy, because there's some jokes that I just bursted out laughing because it was hilarious, a lot of which was from Keanu Reeves. But as far as, like, yeah, as far as most of the comedy, it didn't really work, but I felt like everyone was trying to act, and especially near the end, it gets a little cheesy. But I did, for the most part, enjoy everything that was going on, and I felt that everything was organic, that these characters did grow, they did learn from their experiences, and they kind of realized, like, yeah, you kind of expect, like, hey, how these movies end up going. But something like Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon
and not quite Matthew McConaughey.
And not quite Matthew McConaughey ends up being just kind of a movie. Where this, yeah, it's like, yeah, you kind of know how it's going to turn out, but it's so organic that you are rooting for it to happen. You're like, yeah, you know what? This actually does work. I do feel like these two people are good for each other. And they might, hey, who knows if it'll last, but that's not up to me. I'm not the writer. But as far as this, like, yeah, this is really good. So at the end of it, it kind of like, it started off bad, but then it kind of curved its way up to me enjoying it. But I guess I'll throw we've basically been going through a lot of this movie. Do you have anything else to say, Bradley?
Do you think there's someone in marketing in Hollywood somewhere just attaching song title puns to rom-coms? And however they turn out, who cares? That's just the way they're marketed? Because you brought up Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah. That's a song title.
Yeah.
I'll Be Home for Christmas, song title. What's up with that?
It's catchy. That's the only thing I could think of. And they could put a song towards it so that it plays on the radio and it revives the song. Like, it, I get that. Because, like, the Always Be My Maybe, like, it, you think that means something. It really kind of doesn't. And if you think it means something, it's actually quite horrible. Like, the connotations.
Yeah, it's very...
Yeah, Always Be My Side Chick or some shit. Like,
I thought this was going to be an incredibly mean-spirited comedy where they're both like, oh, I'm not seeing anyone right now. Oh, there's Sasha. Or, oh, there's Marcus. They'll always be my maybe, you know, since no one likes to be lonely. It's not like that at all, of course, but I thought that's what the title was going to imply that we were about to watch. Okay. Final thoughts from me, though. I enjoyed this a lot. It does have a runtime, I'd say. Could shave that down a bit. There are a lot of moments that connect emotionally that I don't think would connect if you're not seeing this with just a beautiful, positive spirit of a person. Like, the film ends with a lot of, hey, look at this, yada yada. Oh, that's yada yada, isn't it? It yada yada is. Aww. And, you know, someone like me is sitting there like, wait, what's the yada yada here? I don't remember that. And then my wife would say, no, remember about an hour and a half ago they set up yada yada to be yada yada when yada yada happens? I'm like, oh, yeah, that is kind of sweet. But these things are all just jumbled up in a blender for like 10 to 30 seconds and don't have the emotional impact they should. As I said, unless someone can explain it to you, maybe I'm just an idiot. I don't know. Anyways, I like it. I really like Ali Wong's work. Like I said, I think she's brilliant. This is the first time I've seen Randall Park, I believe. He's okay. Seeing Daniel Day-Kim outside of TV, that's awesome. You know, I guess he's just playing the attractive guy, which is cool because so many of those are just cast as who's the hot white guy this month. So it's nice to see, as we said, diverse cast. I would give this 6 missed opportunities with your true love, maybe, out of 10 awkward phone calls.
Nice. Well said. It's one of those things I really can't stand. I grew up on rom-com, so I just grew a hatred for them. So watching this, it started off with every single thing. I'm like, oh god, this is killing me. But then yeah, after a while, I'm just like, I guess I got used to the movie, and I feel like comedies to a certain degree, you got to get used to the universe you're in, because this is a weird. They're always this weird kind of, this shit would never happen in real life. So you have to kind of get used to it. And after I did, I'm like, you know what? This isn't bad. This is subverting a lot of expectations. It's using a diverse cast, but it doesn't feel the need to, again, like you said, bring it up. It just, again, it treats these people like people, and it works really, really fucking well. And they're able to integrate a lot of their history into it to make this a really interesting movie. So after a while, I started to just really enjoy it. It got cheesy, but it always does. But I was rooting for them by the end of it. So as far as rating, I'll definitely give this 3 successful restaurants out of 5.
Nice. So you want to close out with a Mariah Carey song? Do-do-do-do-dong.
Oh, no, fuck that.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-dong. No?
I'm just glad you didn't pick Sweet. I'll Be Home for Christmas. That's all.
That Christmas album is cash flow every year, man.
And the bane of every single cash year.